When I started this, I had this idea that it would be like a little booklet with a beginning and an end. And then the Lord gave me his end, if you like. So I don't know how it's going to go today. The opening, if you read the little booklet and the opening paragraph reads, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And the closing paragraph was going to be, "I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." So that's not going to be the ending, but anyway, in between these bits of turbulence in this book, this booklet, we've been praying all week, and God takes us through things, doesn't he? So we're looking at that a little bit. But if I can read Psalm 46, if you have a Bible or want to follow, that's Psalm 46. I'll read in the NIV, New International Version. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." That's the standard, isn't it? You know, we pray and he brings us to stillness. But he is in charge. God is in control. Now, some of you know that I was in the Far East and came back last week. And basically John and Luella were asking, "What are the flights like?" And I said, "Oh great, so hyper and high and jet lagged and delighted." But actually there was turbulence. There was turbulence on two of the flights. One was going into Hong Kong, where the flight was aborted because there was, the landing was aborted because there was some kind of wind. They'd had a typhoon and there was some wind left. So you go down and you're about to land and then it takes off like that. And the passengers don't know anything because the pilot is busy. And then they say, "Oh, we've just aborted that landing and we'll circle around and hope the second one comes down." And it did, thank God. And then we were flying to Osaka in Japan, and there was real turbulence as we got there. There was like, you're jumping from side to side, there's all this movement, sudden drops up and down, and you realize you're in like a tin can in a way. It just feels like there's no control there. And then I did say, "He shall give his angels charge over us, to keep us in all our ways. In their hands they bear us up, lest we dash our foot against a stone." And that helped me. And the turbulence, thankfully, didn't last too long. Amen. But it does make you see that really, we're so little in the scheme of everything. We're just tiny. But to God, we're somebody. To God, we are somebody. Another word for turbulence, not to do with weather, is a state of conflict or confusion or something that's full of commotion. It's not still, it's all commotion. That's turbulence on the ground. And last Sunday, I had a bit of turbulence when I left here. I took a shortcut. Never do that when you're tired and bad idea. It really cost me. It actually did cost. I was so stupid. Gary was saying last week, you come face to face with God. I just came face to face with stupid, like me being stupid. And I kept thinking, how did that happen? I never do that. What actually happened? One moment, one bad decision changes things. Anyway, in a funny kind of a way, it brought me closer to God. Isn't that funny? Because I prayed and I said, I couldn't stop thinking about it going over. And I said to God, how can these things happen? And I realized that morning, being out of my usual routine, I didn't pray in the morning. I didn't put on the armor of God. I rushed out to church. I didn't do my usual things. I forgot. Because I was out of the usual routine. And then when I came out of church, I thought, oh, I won't go to the shops. I'll just go home. Something in me was saying, go home. But I said, no, I must go to the shop and get something that we might need. It's crazy. And when I was in the car, the third thing was, I've shared this with you, I know it's on camera, but it's so silly. I have worship in the car. Something was saying to me, put on the worship. But there was so much resistance in me. I felt like I was resisting. Anyway, it was a bad decision to take a shortcut. There's no shortcuts in life. And even in prayer, there's no shortcuts. We do have to go through coming close to God, being still, is the only way. But the thing is, I realized that I had that pride in me or impulsiveness or whatever it was lurking inside me. And when I was tired and out of routine, it just came to the surface, basically, because there's an enemy stalking us. Waiting to catch us out in our moment of weakness. We have to be careful. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. And the Bible, what I should have done, is finally Ephesians 6. Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. And it tells us to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, and to pray always in the Spirit. We pray the importance of prayer. Last week we pray, next week Mary's telling us we're going to pray again. And I'm glad, like Donna said, to have the second chance, because I was very up and down there. But James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Our lovely and good friend Florence started the prayer group PEP, which stands for Powerful Effective Prayer. I know some of you have been and go to that group. When we're there, we pray for everything. You know, that we pray for all the things that we have prayed for this week in a way. We come with our perspective to pray. We pray for England, we pray for kings, we pray for everything. And then, because Florence is humble and she sows into that group a lot, she gives it over to the Holy Spirit, and then God comes with his perspective and he brings his perspective and he lifts us up from a position here praying up to him, and he brings us up to heavenly places and gives us his perspective. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. When that happens in the group, Florian and Sari will know there's a change. We start to pray from God's perspective, where he has put us. And it's surprising sometimes what we end up praying for. It might not be the agenda we came with, but it's what's on his heart and what he wants to speak through us. We speak life, people. Yes. We speak life. We pray, we speak it out, and God makes it happen. And sometimes if there's a delay, it's because God is waiting for something else. He knows, he's in charge. But our prayers are there like incense, ready to be poured out. They're not wasted. But his perspective is different to our perspective. And so that's why we say, not our will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he loves the poor, he loves God's character so perfect. And we thank him for who he is and what he has done. I mean, 1 Timothy 2 tells us how to pray. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. How privileged we are to know this. We are privileged to be in this position. Many people don't. Job went through a lot. The book of Job is about suffering. It has a good ending, but at this stage, Job is crying out for help. He doesn't know what's gone wrong in his life. Job 9:33, he said, if only there was someone to arbitrate between us, to lay his hand upon us both, someone to remove God's wrath from me, so that his terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot. So many people are in that position, afraid of life, afraid of death, of so many things. We were there. They don't know what we are privileged to know. They don't know that God so loved them that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That if they believe in him, they will not perish but have eternal life. They don't realize that God didn't come to condemn, but to save. and to give them life to the full. We know that, how privileged are we. And when we accept Jesus Christ, he gives us another counselor, comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth who lives in us. John 14:15-19. We are privileged. We may go through our own turbulence, sadness, grief, loss, disappointment, whatever it is. Fear, worry, these challenging times in the world. But God is encouraging us to be still and know that he is God.
Yes.
He brings us through each stage, day by day. He's close to the brokenhearted. He weeps with us, rejoices with us. Thanks, Sarah. It's a big baby, Sarah. He's with us in every season of our soul. Every season of our life, he knows us. He loves us, he protects us. He tells us not to fear, to be still and know that he is God.
Yes.
I was going to end with this, which is one of my favorite psalms. My heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And O church, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. But, sorry, God, I was praying. I managed to be still for a minute. And Jesus came. God gave me this word so strongly that I'm going to share it with you. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. God has the last word, and that's what he's saying, I believe, to the church. The peace of God, it was so strong when he brought that. I mean, I could feel his weight on it. I believe that's what he's saying to us today. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. And Julie spoke about a plumb line. I felt like whatever else I said might be mine, but I felt that that's God's. God is saying that to the church today. His peace is amazing. And I thank you for listening.
Amen. Amen.